I'm not so concerned about something that future and what happens in the future and when Jesus comes and how he comes and all that kind of thing. What I'm interested in is our expectations about Jesus. There's a lot going on when Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. One of the things that amazes me is that he heads right into Jerusalem. He knows what he's getting into. From the episode in the Garden of Gethsemane, we know that he's not exactly thrilled about it. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But his face is still set toward Jerusalem. There's no waver, there's no detour. And Jesus isn't just heading towards those people who are plotting his death. I mean, we can imagine him valiantly and bravely staring down the forces of darkness. But he's not just going to deal with Pilate, and he's not just going to deal with the Sanhedrin, and he's not just going to deal with the other bad guys in the Easter story. Jesus is also going to Jerusalem, and he is going to disappoint his followers. Jerusalem is an occupied city, bent over backwards by the Romans. There's constant threat to life, constant threat to liberty, and to the religious and spiritual ideals which had been kindled in God's people since the days of Abraham. And the people of Jerusalem weren't just hungry for freedom and victory, they ached for it. And they yearned for it. And when the Messiah came into Jerusalem that day riding on a donkey, they knew that was big. They just didn't know what the big thing was that Jesus had in mind. The palm branches and the singing of hosannas, that's not just something that started with Palm Sunday. That had been part of the Feast of the Tabernacle for centuries. And ever since something called the Maccabean Revolt, and I'm not going to go into the history of that, but it's about 160 years before Jesus, ever since the beginning of that revolt, the palm branches and hosanna were symbols of national pride. You know, it's a political thing to wave branches and shout hosanna. They were reminders that God could do miraculous and amazing things and could conjure up a victory even in the deep recesses of oppression. So when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the crowd didn't just sing hosannas and wave their palm branches because they were incredibly captivated by Jesus' message of love and grace. That was true. But for most of those people, the Messiah was coming to raise up an army, and with the help of God, Rome would be sent running with its pagan tail between its legs. Jesus wasn't just staring down his professional enemies. He was coming to Jerusalem and he was going to disappoint his followers in a colossal fashion. They were ready for an uprising and a military political victory. Jesus, on the other hand, was ready to take up his cross and die. Palm Sunday is just one example in his ministry of the brief attention of the multitude and how quickly it leads to his rejection as the crowd fades away. To brave that takes a huge heart. To brave that and still be in love with the people who reject you and be willing to die for them, that's just amazing. 5 days after Jesus risked it all and entered Jerusalem, he was nailed to a cross in a brutal and humiliating fashion. If the story of Jesus ended there, we'd say that he was an absolute failure. Worthless. Oh, he had so much potential. He could have done so many things. He could have changed the world, but he had to go on and be such a great disappointment. But Jesus shows us that disappointment doesn't have to be the last word. In fact, disappointment can walk out of a tomb and shatter the powers of the world. Jesus is enough. I don't know what your expectations of who Jesus is for you or will be for you. I don't know what you want of Jesus. I don't know about your expectations. The one thing I want you to know today is that Jesus is enough.